This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
And a good Thursday morning to you. Matt Kittelin with you this morning for Sean Preeple, who is enjoying a little time off. And of course, behind the controls is the lovely and talented, ever lovely and talented, the Hammer, Joel Finkelman. And of course, this is Money in Motion. And speaking of lovely and talented, now which one are you? Are you lovely or are you talented,
CJ? I'm talented. The lovely is on the other line.
And that, of course, is Malia Cuevas. How are you, Malia?
She just dropped. We're going to get her right back.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Malia will be joining us real soon. No problem. So just a little technical difficulty at the beginning. That's not going to stop us from discussing your personal finances, though, and what you need to know to be a smart investor, to be a winning investor. That's really the issue here. You know, though, CJ, before we get going on all that we've got to get to, and we've got a busy segment today, why don't we get back to the question of the week from last week.
Yeah.
And that question was, can I complete a Roth IRA conversion when I am 75 years old? I think that's a great question because I think there's a lot of confusion about age limits in this category.
Yes.
What's the answer? And do we have a winner?
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you. Thank you to everybody who listens consistently and calls in for these questions of the week. We have fun with it and we hope you do as well. But yes, can I complete a Roth conversion when I'm 75 years old? And the answer is yes. There is no age limit for doing a Roth conversion. So you could complete it at age 70, 75, 80, whenever you would like to.
And that is so very vital, so very important. Again, I think there's a lot of confusion around this area because, you know, and I think hasten to point out, there have been some changes, obviously, in investment and tax law.
Yep.
And just, I don't want to linger on this too much longer because we got a lot to get to, but do any of those changes in the tax code affect what folks need to know about moving forward in these categories, Roth categories?
Yeah, they do a little bit, but as it pertains to Roth conversion specifically, nothing changed in the most recent tax bill. So the tax bill was primarily about expanding some brackets, obviously giving huge tax cuts to corporations, which hopefully will help drive jobs in the economy. But no, as it pertains to Roth conversions, where the confusion comes in is that people think of required minimum distributions. And once you get to over 70 and a half, you can no longer make pre-tax IRA contributions. And therefore, they think, oh, that must mean I can't do a Roth conversion. I can't do these other things. Yeah. And so it's kind of funky. People think we're trying to drive them to us. It's not so much even us, but just get good advice, mm-hmm. right? Either your accountant, your financial advisor, whoever it might be, because there's just a lot of things to know. Right? Like we could sit here and just go on and on and on about all these little small elements that impact decision making as you get over 50. As a matter of fact, go to our website and Google important birthdays over 50. And there's like, I don't know how many, like 12 of them that are really important for people to know about that impact benefits and Medicare and required minimum distributions, things like that.
Is 64 one of those? I ask that because I think of the Beatles song, When I'm 64. And if Paul and the band would have been smart, they would have said, when I'm 64, I'm going to have this much set aside in my investment account.
It's 65. No, 64 is not significant.
64 is not significant. It was at one time. It's not now. The voice you're hearing right now, of course, is yours truly, Matt Kittle, and we're with C.J. Claus, and Malia Cuevas joins us. Malia, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful.
How are you doing?
Great. It's a pleasure to meet you. I'm so glad to have you here, and I'm so glad to tap into the knowledge that you and C.J. have. That's extremely important. We talk about the many different aspects of investing. It's so important to have knowledgeable people on your team at your side who will pick up the phone and say, hey, listen, this is what you need to consider. This is what you maybe need to be concerned about. This is the opportunity that you have. So very critical. These two people know exactly that. Now, I know it is starting to feel like spring, although I'm told, I hate to say the S word, that maybe a little snow might be moving into the area, Fred. I know I'm depressing people who really want to get to spring. But it looks like today's first topic revolves around how to to do some spring cleaning of your finances. You know, we think about getting the things straightened out and organized. How and where do we start with this?
Well, it's a good question, and you have to realize, you know, there's a lot of hope behind our programs, so that's why we're starting to talk about spring, even though it doesn't feel like it maybe every day right now. But same goes for our finances. You know, we talk about this at the beginning of the year, brand new year, let's do things a little better, a little different. At this point, everybody is working hard to get their taxes filed. And they're realizing perhaps they weren't as organized as they needed to be when they're starting to gather those documents. So we thought a good beginning point for everyone would be to look at the types of documents you have and realize that these, at least at this point, you don't need to be saving every single document like we have in the past at your house. We're looking at your statements, you know, keeping your year-end statements makes sense. Maybe your quarterly statements, saving the essentials such as tax returns, those that would certainly make sense, and looking at the kinds of statements you're going to want to save will be for your after-tax investments. So those would be investments, unlike your retirement, your 401k, and so forth. The after-tax statements will show what you paid originally for an investment. And those maybe you bought an individual stock, say 10 years ago. Those statements really are vital to hold on to for as long as you own that investment. Because what happens is all of a sudden you've sold it and you're calling your advisor and you're saying, you know, how much should I pay for that? Well, if you bought it outside of your advisor, they have no clue. If Aunt Dottie gave it to you, you have no idea what she paid for it. Those are a lot of research things that you're going to have to reconstruct. So if you can find statements, hold on to those statements for after tax. But I think it's really hard for people. They're either hoarders or they're purgers. And there has to be kind of an in-between here. Purging the stuff you really don't need, but keeping the stuff that you're going to need at tax time.
Now, Aunt Dottie, of course, was very organized. God bless her soul. I am not. And so either I do one of two things. I say, man, I better keep everything. But then I lose it because I don't know where it is. It's all messed up. So you go over some very, very important points here. What is critical to keep and what isn't, ultimately?
Right. So what you want to know, and again, let's keep it simple. Mm-hmm. You purchase something, say it was a stock, and you perhaps paid, let's just do a round number, $1,000 for that stock 10 years ago, and today that same investment is now worth $3,000. So you started off with the $1,000. That's your cost basis. The cost basis is what you paid to purchase the investment. Mm-hmm. And that's the key number that we want to keep a hold of. Document it. It's just going to be in a part of your record keeping that says, you know, these are my after-tax investments. This is what it was worth on the day I purchased it or how much it cost me. And those are figures that you're going to have to, unless you keep it forever until you die, but most people tend to hold and eventually sell.
Indeed. Well, I want to get to the paperless question here coming up momentarily. I'm going to take a quick break, but we do have much more information to instill. This is good stuff. Spring cleaning this time of the year is so important. I know it's important in my home. Just ask my wife. But it's important in your finances, too, your personal finances. We're going to get to more of that, of course, with C.J. Kloss and Malia Cuevas coming up in just a bit. Stay with us. It is Money in Motion. News Talk 1310 WIBA.
Is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
You bet it is. This is one-stop shopping for all of the above. You want to dial us up? As always, 321-1310, toll-free 877-235-1310. We're talking about spring cleaning, getting your finances in order, your investments in order. in an orderly, manageable way. What about the idea of being almost paperless at home with personal financial items? A good idea? What about the safety of using the internet? I know that's a big question for investors, CJ.
Yeah, absolutely. So as Malia was just indicating, there are certainly documents, physical documents, you need to keep safe in a fireproof safe somewhere, a passport, a marriage certificate, even tax documents at times. You can keep those physically until you file your taxes, deeds and policies. So there certainly are physical documents you may want to keep in a fireproof and waterproof safe. But as it pertains to our investments in particular, do I really need to keep the trade report, the prospectuses, the monthly statements that I receive, you know, mm-hmm. on and on and on? Because anybody
definitely the prospectuses.
Yeah, that's right. Keep those booklets from day one. And the answer is no. You can absolutely go paperless. I'll even take it to the extent of, for my own finances, I don't keep any of that, including my tax reporting documents.
Does that worry you at all? I know there are people out there going, oh my gosh, I need the paper.
It should if you don't know what you're doing. Right? And so this is where you'll hear people say, you know, I had my grandson come over and he helped me, you know, set up this secure, you know, folder that then backs up here. And, you know, you'll hear the client say, and I don't really know what he's talking about, but I'll just call him if something goes wrong.
And count on the kids.
Right,
that's right.
And that can be okay. But the notion of this is to say, listen, technology has really moved forward fast and in some great ways. And I will tell you, I even hear people say, I don't like the idea of my finances being out on the internet. And I go, it already is.
Yeah.
Tough luck, right? Whether you like it or not, it is on a server, right, somewhere that is accessible to the web.
Right.
Where it goes wrong is in how people access that information. So they set up a username and password that is Bob Smith username. Password is password, right?
1234.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's their access to the information that causes a security issue. But I'm getting off topic. Is it a good idea to go paperless on some of these documents if you can understand the need to put it in a secure folder and have it backed up somewhere?
Right.
If you can do that or have a grandchild or a child help you with that, we are big supporters of doing that. I'll also say we're big supporters of using a secure password protected Wi-Fi network. So here's another thing. People will just have an IT guy set up Wi-Fi and it's accessible to anybody. Well, don't do that. Put a password on it. Also, what about a password storage manager? Another funny one Malia and I hear quite often is clients will come in with their little black book in their purse, right?
Yep.
And when I say, what is that? Well, this is all my usernames and passwords.
Ooh.
And they go, and I would never put this out on the internet. And I go, yeah, because that would be so much worse than having it in your purse, right? So, and I don't mean to be making fun of people, because there's probably hundreds of people listening right now going, that's what I do, CJ.
Right.
It's more of, hey, there are fantastic, very secure encrypted password storage managers that you can put onto your computer. And by the way, S&P 500 level corporations use these password storage managers.
Right.
So don't think that you're smarter than, you know, multi-million dollar corporations. So you can have a secure password storage manager where you have one highly encrypted, highly secure password that then gives you access to all of the others. And here's the key. Oh, go ahead, Malia.
I was just going to say, and you can carry this password manager on your own phone. Mm-hmm. Just please, please, please password protect your telephone.
Right.
Okay? Because there are people who don't have a password on that, and then it just becomes a wide open little black book like CJ is talking about.
Yeah. So inside of our own company, we have a highly secure password storage manager that shares it across all of our employees, and you can limit sharing. And basically, you have to remember one highly secure password storage manager that has multiple authentication. So it goes to a cell phone with, you know, on and on and on. But by knowing that one secure password, it gives you access to hundreds of others, which then, by the way, now suddenly the need to have your username and password be identical across everything goes away.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Because let's be honest, if you don't have a password storage manager, what do you end up doing? the same username and the same password for everything because it's too hard to remember otherwise, right?
And you have so many passwords in your life. It's not just for your financial information, and there's a lot there, but just everything else.
Yes.
And so it becomes a bit daunting. Yeah. I would imagine, though, that the good folks at your fine establishment would help people and point them in the right direction in terms of making sure that it's really all about security.
Yes, it really is. So again, big fans of people considering going paperless if they know what they're doing. Make sure you're accessing your financial information from a secure Wi-Fi network. Back up your computer files regularly and consider using a secure encrypted password storage manager.
Excellent advice. Excellent advice. And I know one of the things that you folks discuss on a regular basis on the show is to consolidate, to simplify. How important is that in the mix of spring cleaning for your investments, your financial situation?
Well, you know, what we remind our clients every day is if you only have $100 to your name, you probably don't have a lot of statements because we hear people gripe all the time. I've had so many statements and all these notices and so forth. It probably means you've done well, you've invested, and yes, you do get a lot of investments, but a lot of statements. But what we profess on the show is consolidate, diversify, and simplify. So if you can take a look at all your different investments that maybe are scattered amongst three or four different financial institutions, banks, and various financial advisors, that doesn't necessarily mean you're officially diversified. Diversified means the type of classification of the types of investments you have, perhaps stocks, bonds, cash, and other alternative investments. So it's better to simplify. Start looking at, and a financial advisor can help you do this, look at where maybe you can take some old IRAs, consolidate those with perhaps one advisor, and make sure that within those IRAs, they're diversified. And same goes with bank accounts. Having seven different banks in your community is not doing you any good whatsoever except driving you crazy, especially at tax time. So that's how you can simplify.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm feeling a little more organized, a little more balanced, a little more feng shui already, folks, and you've helped me out immensely. We're not done yet, though. We have a few more tips, a little more advice with the experts here, C.J. Kloss, Malia Cuevas, joining us on Money and Motion, Kloss Financials, Money and Motion. Going to finish it up, coming up momentarily, and also have the big question of the day. Let's not forget that, a question of the week. Stick around, more to come here on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
You bet it is. This is fun and informative. I've had a great time discussing stuff that can be, you know, complicated. You guys always do a great job of breaking it down, making it simple, making it very accessible. A couple of other points on our spring cleaning for our finances, for our investments. Are there any other areas we should be concentrating on when we're going over that process?
Definitely. So perhaps it's time for you, as you're doing your spring cleaning of your finances, to be looking at quotes on your homeowner's insurance, your auto insurance. So it's kind of funny, or even Medicare supplements for clients. Insurance companies have found out that people are lazy. And they
talk to me.
Yeah,
right. That's right.
Right. And so in that laziness, unfortunately, they have learned that as costs go up in their insurance policies, people would rather not go through the hassle of changing them. So your core insurances, homeowners, auto insurance, Medicare supplements for those over 65, those costs tend to every year, every couple of years, just go up a little bit, up a little bit. And people go, well, it's just the way it is. And I go, actually, no. You could go requote it every few years and bring it back down. It's just insurance companies know you won't. So don't be that guy. Don't be that girl. Every few years, do some spring cleaning. Take a look at your Medicare supplement. Take a look at your homeowner's auto insurance, life insurance costs. Talk to your independent insurance agent. By the way, as FYI, that's not us. We do retirement planning. We can certainly refer you to a couple good insurance agents, but do some spring cleaning in that area. Also, check your mortgage rate. This is mostly past us now that interest rates are finally rising again. Mm-hmm. But there's still people we meet with who have 6, 7, 8% interest rates on their mortgage. And it's, again, I just never went back and looked at it. I got it 15 years ago.
Look how much money that's costing.
Yes, huge.
Yeah.
So, and then check your credit report would be another one. So again, we'll hear people say, I don't really know what my credit is, but I know I can't refinance my mortgage. Mm-hmm. And I go, well, something's going on there. We need to find out what's happening to your credit. And so there's great services like annualcreditreport.com. You can check your credit report once a year at no cost. There's Credit Karma that even has a monitoring service available. Be an educated consumer. Know what is impacting your credit score.
That is great advice. We don't even really think about that. I think that you sum that up just right on when we just get locked in and we just believe that's the way it is. No, it's not. You can go back. Okay. You can get some quotes. You can figure out where your insurance is, how much it's gone up. And you have a right to ask that it go back down as a consumer. All right. What about looking at your budget? That's another important area here.
Yeah. You know, and again, this is something people usually look at in January, just like they look at the scale. And by the end of January, they've forgotten all about it.
Yeah.
So what we're looking at from a financial standpoint is the budget really comes into place when maybe perhaps you've gotten a raise. And, you know, you take a look at that, say, can I be adding some of that that new raise money into my savings account or perhaps looking at my retirement account and escalating the percentage going in by 1%. So maybe I got a raise of 2%. Maybe I take 1% of that and put it towards my retirement and the other into my savings. Looking at your debt, if you've gotten a raise, can you aggressively be paying down that debt faster? Because if you listen to our show, that's one thing we're pretty hyper about, mm-hmm. is as we approach retirement, we'd really prefer that our clients have zero debt, as close to it as possible. So the earlier you can, you know, reformulate your game plan and get that attacked, the debt reduced, that will be positive for you in the future. So looking at your investments, another spring cleaning item, making sure that you're not out of balance. Last year, we had a really great year in the market, and if no one's helping you rebalance your portfolio or your retirement accounts, that's something you want to take a look at, making sure that things are appropriately balanced according to your age and your risk tolerance.
Good stuff. Good advice all. We close it all up now with, I think, a pretty important question, and this will be something that listeners can think about next week, but they can also think about it maybe to win a prize.
That's right.
Take away a little something here. Here's your Claus Quiz question of the week. With an after-tax investment, am I right here? No.
Yes,
I am. With an after-tax investment, is the cost basis what you earned on the investment or what you paid for the investment? That is the question.
Call our office. Yes.
Very good. And you'll have a chance to win a $25 gift card?
Yes. Yeah. $25 gift card to, what is it this week?
To Texas Roadhouse.
Yes.
Texas Roadhouse. Oh. And you got that Claus phone number there?
Yes. It's 442-5637. Again, 442-5637. Call our office, not the station, to answer that question. And good luck.
Absolutely. Let me give it to you one more time. With an after-tax investment, is the cost basis what you earned on the investment or what you paid for the investment? I know you and Sean will be talking about that next week. Thanks. This has been
fun.
It really has. And informative. Absolutely. CJ Claus, Malia Cuevas, of course, as always, same time here, News Talk 1310 WIBA Claus, Financials, Money in Motion. We'll be back.
This is Money in Motion with Claus Financial. Securities by licensed individuals offered through Investacorp Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Claus Financial Asset Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Claus Financial does not offer tax or legal advice. Any opinion offered during the course of this show is the opinion of that particular investment advisor representative and not necessarily the opinion of Claus Financial.